Do you remember the 1970s Christian posters and bookmarks with a picture of a very stern judge looking over the bench in a court of law, and the words underneath which said, "If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Well, would there? We're called to share the gospel of hope and truth, of peace and forgiveness. But how is this to be done? If I was asked to ask you to consider someone whose life demonstrated a way of non-violence, you might well think of Gandhi. Or if I asked you to consider someone who had placed the poor at the very center and heart of their ministry, then you would probably think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Or if I asked you to think about someone who lived forgiveness and reconciliation, then you might well think of Nelson Mandela. In each case, the person is the message. Luke presents us with the man and his message. This is the son of Mary, who is indeed the son of God, as Luke presents us with his version of the genealogy of Jesus, which starts with Mary and ends with Adam, the son of God. He is truly human, and he is truly God. In Jesus, God knows what it's like to be me, what it's like to be you. He knows what makes us laugh, what makes us cry, where we succeed, and also, of course, where we fail. And he accepts us as we are. Jesus' purpose is to live and speak the gospel. The person and the message. The person is the message. Having rejected the ways of the world through his reaction to the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus then lays out his manifesto. He has proclaimed that he is the Messiah who is going to bring in the Jubilee. Now, they were absolutely amazed at this when he said this, because, of course, the Jubilee was supposed to be the 7 times 7 years. The seventh day, the day of rest, the seventh year when the land was given rest, and the 7 times 7 years when everything was given rest. And debts were cancelled, and slaves were freed, and the land returned to its original designation, where everyone had their fair share. And so when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," he has just declared Jubilee. And the Jews had never celebrated it. Too costly, of course. And immediately, Jesus demonstrates the truth of his proclamation. He could have fed the hungry. He could have turned stones into bread. He could have demonstrated a miraculous intervention by God. He could have leapt from the pinnacles of the temple and be caught by angels. He could have led an uprising to overthrow the nations. He could have let Satan take control of his thinking. But instead, he chose the way of love, meeting individual human beings at the very heart of their needs. The way of love, of course, is not always popular, as Oscar Romero discovered 40 years ago. "When I feed the hungry, they call me a saint," he said. "But when I ask why are they hungry, they call me a Marxist." And 40 years ago, this month, he was assassinated while celebrating Mass in the cancer hospital chapel in San Salvador. I was there on the 15th anniversary in 1995. And there was a real challenge to each of us in the congregation to follow Romero's way of love. when Jesus declared the Jubilee of God, he is greeted first with enthusiasm, then with doubt, and finally the threat of mob violence. They wanted to take him away and throw him off a cliff. The person and the message. This is us. The person is the message. How do we share the message? The message and the messenger are one. There's no room for hypocrisy here. We are the message. As a Cardiff street pastor told me, you are the only Bible that most people will ever read. This is a challenge for each one of us. Just think that the way we live and the way we talk and the way we behave is the message, and that we are indeed the only Bible that most folk will ever read. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. And they were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. See, reports about Jesus have been circulating. He's interesting, he's charismatic, he's exciting. Come on, let's go and hear what he has to say. And in our time, people always want to be excited by the latest sensation in the entertainment industry, or in sport, or politics. There's Boris's performance to analyse. Or there's the sense of who's going to lead the Labour Party. How are they going to find a popular leader? And in Christian circles, it can be the same as we rush to hear inspiring speakers. The image of Jesus presented in the media is often far from the Jesus of the Gospel. Sadly, of course, so is the Jesus presented by many a speaker, far from the Jesus of the Gospel. The challenge for us is to present the Jesus who has encountered us, has given us hope and peace, and in whose name we worship and live and witness. We are not those who merely have an acquaintance with Jesus. We must embody the Gospel. We must be the Gospel. We must always be ready, as Paul would say, to give an account of the hope that is within us, the reality of Jesus in our lives. Jesus' teaching with authority brings amazement. It gets beyond the second-hand report of a new rabbi. The synagogues welcomed this new teacher. He didn't give long expositions of the meaning of the law, but he spoke from his intimate relationship with God, in whose name he spoke and healed. If we're going to share the gospel with persuasive power, it must come from our hearts. We must speak out of our intimate relationship with Christ. It is firsthand. Not the second-hand recounting of what somebody else said. As I used to tell my students, if you don't believe it, don't preach it. 2 years ago, in 2018, at the royal wedding of Harry and Meghan, Bishop Michael Curry spoke passionately about the power of love. The source of this love is God, as the Apostle John had written to the church. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. John goes on to say that the reverse is also true. The bishop declared that there is power in love. There's power in love to help and to heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift and liberate when no one else will. There's power in love to show us the way to live. Maybe we've become too used to hearing the gospel in church. Maybe we're too used to preaching to church folk, the insiders. Maybe we're too used to trying to be doctrinally correct and not upset anybody by suggesting things about God that maybe they won't accept. Yet the gospel, when preached with honesty and passion, will take us to the very edge of our comfort zones. We are passionate, aren't we, about those things that we know and experience, not those things that we've read in a book. You see, I can speak passionately about the love of a wonderful mother. I could speak too about the fear of death when my niece was run over and killed when she was 10. I can speak about the joy of success. I can speak about the pain of loss. I can speak about the call of God on my life. I can speak about the peace of Christ and the truth of the gospel, because I know them at first hand. My faith journey is my theology. My experience of living out my faith in Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit has shaped my knowledge and my understanding of the ways in which God works, the ways in which God works in the world, the way he works in human lives, and his desire for each one of us. It's rightly said that tearless hearts will never be the heralds of Christ's passion. The person and the message. The person is the message. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Yeah. Jesus is recognized by the demons. But much more, Jesus is someone who has authority over the demons. It was believed in the time of Jesus that any disease that involved loss of control, such as epilepsy, delirium, convulsions, nervous disorders, mental derangement, suggested the presence of an invading power. So Jesus is making a religious rather than a medical diagnosis. Evil was invading this man's life, and Jesus rescues him. This illness was not what God wanted for this man. These are demonstrations of the kingdom of God encountering evil, which was waging war against God's desire for wholeness, for well-being, for peace, for shalom in every human life. And in our day, when we have so much more medical understanding, let's beware, because demons come in all shapes and sizes in a materialistic and self-centered world. The lust for power and control in politics, in business, in human relationships, and in the church. The seeking after success, whatever the consequences for ourselves, our families, and our colleagues. The pursuit of pleasure at the expense of others. Jesus is a healer of our ills, of our disease, and our sicknesses. He is concerned for our whole being, body, mind, and spirit. And the miracles are dramatic forms of preaching the good news. demonstrating that the kingdom of God has arrived and is present in our midst. But the real good news is that the people could enter into the kingdom through their faith in Christ. The person is the message. How is our life in Christ? How are we walking in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? What message does our life give? All the people were amazed, and they said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. When the power of God is at work, people are amazed. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When people are healed, there's evidence that God is at work. And we're amazed. We've seen answers to prayer in so many ways, in our own churches, in our own lives. We've seen the answer for prayers for healing. But I should add that healing doesn't always come in the way that we want. At the same time as we at Highfield experienced the miraculous healing of one of our church members of cancer in 1986, yes, she asked for the elders to come and anoint her with oil and to pray for her, and the consultant confirmed that the cancer had gone. But at the same time, Bert, who was a lapsed Christian, asked for prayer and moved from asking for prayer to praying with me and then praying for me and dying with a renewed faith and a deep peace in Christ. And my mother died of liver cancer. But that was the ultimate healing of a Christ-filled life, to which she gave witness right to the end. The Macmillan nurses said, "It's amazing. Whenever we come in, she asks about us and our families. She never forgets anything about us. And she commits our families," she tells us, "in her prayers." Our prayer life, our relationship with God, is the message. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Jesus prevented the demons from declaring the truth of his messiahship because he didn't want a popular uprising. He didn't want their enthusiasm to make him a leader of a national uprising, because the focus is always on God, the man and the message. It's the message of salvation. It's the message of the world-transforming kingdom of God that is central, not the personality of the messenger. I have recently reviewed a book about ministry and serving God, where disappointingly I learned far, far more about the writer than I did about God. We are called to be channels of God's love and grace, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us. We are not healers. When I had the privilege of being involved in healing at Highfield, I was not a healer. I open myself up, we open ourselves up to God's Spirit so that events of healing can take place. It is the grace of God in the event of healing. The focus is always on God and not on us. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. They looked for further miracles, but Jesus had drawn aside to be alone with God. The person and the message. The person is the message, but only as we are in God's will, as we are in Christ, and he is in us. Through our prayerful relationship with God, we may be gospel truth for everyone we meet. Gandhi described 7 deadly social sins which undermine the fabric of our society. They are politics without principle. Yep. Wealth without work. Yep. Commerce without morality. Absolutely. Pleasure without conscience. Yep. Education without character. Science without humanity. Religion without sacrifice. And we see it all today. MPs failing to tell the truth, false expenses claims and inappropriate relationships, failures in business management followed by big pension and bonus payouts, binge drinking and casual sex, genetic engineering. If we can do it, let's do it. And the me and Jesus of religious entertainment. We used to call people who went from church to church religious gypsies. Gandhi said, "Jesus lived and died in vain if he did not teach us to regulate the whole of our life by the eternal law of love." Every area of our lives has to show a Christ-like character. The Christian life is about learning. The Christian life is about learning how to love, how to forgive, to be thoughtful and considerate, to be understanding and courageous. We need to learn how to trust and defer, how to serve and give, how to receive and to help, to encourage and support. It's about being kingdom people. The kingdom within us. At the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, Bishop Michael Curry simply preached the gospel of love and pointed to the source of this love in the cross of Christ. And he concluded his sermon with these words: "When love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream, and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields and study war no more. When love is the way, then there's plenty of good room. Plenty good room for all God's children, because when love is the way, we actually treat each other, well, we actually treat each other as family.
when love is the way, we know that God is the source of us all, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God. And his last sentence, my brothers and sisters, this is a new heaven, a new earth, a new world, a new family. But you know, if you went on Twitter, if you went on Facebook, you'd find that some of the comments about the bishop's sermon were less than complimentary. It reminded me of the way the religious authorities treated a young Galilean as someone to be criticized, someone who was mad or had a demon. Well, Jesus was preached, and the gospel was heard, and the crowd responded, and the religious folk, some of them, were too busy criticizing the doctrine. It's too simple to talk about God being love. Well, it's good to know they understand. Some in the media, of course, spent their time interpreting the expressions on the faces of the royal family. Were they bored? Were they annoyed? Others seemed to concentrate on the fact that the bishop was an ardent supporter of social justice, especially wanting to welcome immigrants. What an unchristian thing to do. Where's the reality? Where's the relevance in such comments? It's no wonder people don't want to come to church anymore. Of the gospel, it's rightly said that Jesus came to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. Our challenge is to continue to live out this gospel of love, as indeed I am sure that each of us is seeking to do. Living out the gospel, the person and the message. The person is the message. Just remember that we may be the only Bible that someone will ever read. The person is the message. We are the message. You are the message. You are the message. Amen.